Parshas Vayeshev Beis Tefillah Tovshin Ein He. Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv Be'eretz Kanaan. Eile Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Says Rashi. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva Kofatz Olav Rugzei Shal Yosef. Yaakov wished to sit calmly and peacefully, and therefore he got attacked with the Rugzei of Yosef. Tzadikim Mevakshim Leishev B'Shalva. Tzadikim want to live in peace. Oba HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yedayon HaTzadikim Ma She'Metuken Lehem Le'Olam Habo. Is it not enough for the Tzadikim what they have waiting for them in the world to come? Ela Mevakshim Leishev B'Shalva Bo'Olam Hazeh. They request to live in tranquility in this world as well. And therefore Hashem gave him a lesson, Rugzei Shel Yosef. The famous question is, what's so bad for the tzaddik to get some peace in Olam Hazeh? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Tes, tells us all the brachos of the Torah, all the wonderful things you get, what are they all meant for? That we can sit, we should have shalom, we should have an abundance, that we can be ponui to do avodas Hashem. We shouldn't have to be torahed with wars and battles and parnasa and illnesses. We should be free of negative things and have abundance, and therefore we can be ponui. So what's wrong for the tzaddik to request a peace of mind? So what was Yaakov trying to do? Did he want to sunbathe? He wanted to go to the Yam HaMelech. He wanted Shalvos to do Avodas Hashem. So what's wrong with that? Last year we brought on Moshe Feinstein. He says the point was that he felt that he'd done enough. Didn't have to look after his children anymore. He felt spick that they're grown up. Now I don't have to be involved. And Bikesh Deshev V'Shalva, and therefore Hashem said that you always have to oversee your children. That's what he said last year. So this year I saw in a beautiful sefer called the Megid Yosef. He says as following. It's not the desire for Shalva that was wrong. Rather, it's how intense is your desire? How strong does a person desire to have peace and to be free of any sorrows? And the marshal is, a person goes to a house where things are very inconvenient. There's only one bathroom, the window doesn't open, the air conditioning is not working, there's only one sink, the tap hardly takes any water. Things are inconvenient. So it's very distressing, but it depends. If you're just visiting there, you're passing through, it's one night, so you might not even notice it, won't really bother you, because I'm just passing through, so it's not so important. But if this is your permanent residence, this is where you're going to be staying here till who knows when, you get very distressed. Things not working, you'll make plans to try and solve the situation, change the tap, put a new duchemesh, maybe I'll drill a hole, maybe can make a new window, I'll change the AC. And if you can't, you're actually there and you can't change it. It's not possible. You cannot make a hole in the wall, the house will fall down. You can't change the design of the house. You may be very bothered, very distressing. Well, I'm stuck, I have to live this way, it's not going to change. You get very distressed. What's the point? The point is, that pain, as difficult as it may be, even if it makes it easier to bear the pain. If you go into the dentist, it's very painful what he's doing. He's drilling into your tooth. But you know it's going to finish. Within half an hour, it's done. The tooth will be out. He'll deal with his next client. That lightens the pain. But if you think the pain I'm going through now will stay with me for the rest of my life, this makes the pain unbearable. Therefore, you can have the same pain, the same discomfort, if you know it's going to finish quickly, it's going to go away. You don't even feel it. Big deal. The visitor's in the house. He knows that tomorrow morning he's leaving. He doesn't even notice the pain. If you know you're staying there for a month, it'll bother you, but you say, it's going to end. I'm going to leave. Let's not waste my time on this. But if you know you're staying for a year, if you know you're going to stay here till the rest of your life, then it really bothers. It really disturbs you. What, the rest of my life I'm going to have to live in this mess? In this inconvenience? Then it gets very, very disturbing. Therefore, of course, shalva is a great thing. There's nothing wrong in wanting shalva. You want a peace of mind to do avodas Hashem, to be punished for avodas Hashem. That's fine. But it was a big ish. Yaakov, the birth pains. Frekta Marshaw, why is the pasuk out of order? Heironeich, Betzat al dibonim, and then you have the Tzar Gidol Bonim. Why is the Tzar Gidol Bonim put first? Then you have Heironeich, Betzat al dibonim. It's out of order. The answer is gevaldik. According to the story we just said, as painful as Heironeich is, you know there's an end. Maximum 9 months later, it's going to stop. As painful as the later may be, you know it's going to finish within 24 hours. It's over. Oh, the Tzar Gidol Bonim is endless. There's no end to Tzar Gidol Bonim. There's no end in sight. Therefore, it's put first. The biggest klal is first. Tzar Gidol Bonim first. Then, Heironeich, Vetzatel Dibonim. This is what the Megad Yosef says. Beautiful idea. Here as well. If we recognize that things, difficulties that come our way are temporary, we're just passing through, this will lighten the pain. Shizoicha, to have that. And therefore, there's nothing wrong with wanting shalva. Shizoicha to the shalva. We shouldn't be so desperate for it. Yaakov, from his level, shouldn't have been so desperate. That's why he was punished with the Rugzai Shal Yosef, which is a bit of a middah keneged middah, because it's a matter of outlook, of approach. Really, the case of Yosef was all in his mind. Unlike the case of Lavan and Esav, where they were really trying to kill him, it was only Yaakov was suffering. His son was alive in Egypt. Yaakov didn't know. It was all in his mind. He didn't have the right outlook to where Yosef was. Not to his fault. That's the middle connected middle. Had Yaakov just looked at it, had he known that the same situation, Yosef is in Egypt, he's even the king of Egypt, he wouldn't have been in pain. Not that type of pain. So it's a middle connected middle. You have the wrong approach, so you get punished. That you were forced to have the wrong approach. You're thinking Yosef is Toraf Toraf. That wasn't the case. Last week's parsha, we finished with Esav. We gave him the whole list of Rufa Esav. And the last passage of the parsha finishes with Eile Alufe Es Edoim Lemeshvaisam Beretz Achuzasam. Who Esav Avi Edom? So we finish with Esav, and the next pasuk is Vayeshev Yaakov, and then we go to Yosef. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev Shalva. Yaakov wants to live in tranquility. Says the Alshech HaKadosh, you know what? Am Yisrael, we've been through a lot. Am Yisrael, we can deal, we can go through terrible hardships. We're still fine. Vayava Yaakov Shalem. Esav, Lavan. Yaakov can still want to sit b'shalva. When the problems arise, not from out the house, from in the house. External people, Esav and Lavan, we're fine with that. We can deal with that. We'll survive. But if it's in the house, within the home, you have and sinner, lashon hara, that's when things go bad. That's what the Torah is teaching us. Esav, shalva, no stira. You can still sin in shalva. But if you have Yosef, which is from in within the home, then things go bad. Things go very sour. And the message for us is that the big politics, the big things that happen, we can deal with. But we have to be careful what's in our home. If there's kina, there's machlekas from us, that's what we have to be worried about. That's what we have to deal with. The brothers decide to kill Yosef. They decided, they paskened, we're going to kill him. And what happens? Vayishma Reuven v'yatzileu miyadam. Reuven comes to the rescue and says, what's the point? Why kill him? Let's put him in the bar. And in his merit, indeed, Yosef was put in the bar and he was sold and he survived. In the Tshuva HaRashba, the Rashba in Tshuva, in Simin Tof Kuf Pei Aleph, the Rashba was asked about a certain person, a neighbor of the shul, who donated his house to the shul. He had the shul, and he was a neighbor, they shared the common wall. He donated his house to be another shtibel, another base medrash for the shul. Very nice. Now this person wants to put his name up on the wall, dedicated, donated by, and as part of the shul, I don't agree. It's given to the shul, can't put your name up. Why should your name go up? It now belongs to the shul, it's not you. So the Rashba was asked, what does he say? So he says, look, we see from the Torah that we give schar. People do a mitzvah, we give them a reward, that we publicize their name. Umidas ha-Torahi. It's something we learn from the Torah itself. She koseves umefarsemes oise mitzvah. The Torah goes out of its way to publicize people do mitzvahs. And since the Torah does that, for sure we need to follow the Torah's ways of darkei darkei noyam. And therefore we also need to publicize oise mitzvah. This guy that's given a house to the shul should publicize it. What's the Rashba's raya? Where did the Rashba find that the Torah is mefarsim oisei mitzvah? Hine, says the Rashba, batzolas Yosef, sheitzil Reuven yad ochiv. When Reuven saved his brother, kosav olav akosu vayishmar Reuven yad seleu miyodom. This is the source. The fact that the Torah writes that Reuven saved Yosef. Here we learn that there's a mitzvah, you mefarasim oisei mitzvah. It's a schar we give them. And therefore, says the Rashba, what's the point? What's the point of publicizing him just to give him fame? To get himself the press, get in the papers. L'yoislem is zikorin toiv al mitzvahs. V'liftoach delas lois mitzvahs. It gives a good memory. Same we have people who have shame shoyim yirkav. We have an idea of maskeres ovain. People remembered for bad. Person will be remembered for good. It's a schus. It's a schus for that person. People remembering, wow, he gave the shul. And also, it will help others. It will be incentive for others also to follow suit and also do mitzvahs. And this is passing in the Ramah. In Hilchos Tzedakah. Very nice. So it's a mitzvah of the farasim oise mitzvah. The Rashba carries on. He says, you know, v'chem pirsumu olav zal midazu beferush. This idea is mefurish in the Medrash Rus. The Rashba now bring a riot to this proof that we farasim oise mitzvah. Says the Medrash, the pasuk is teaching us, when you do a mitzvah, do it b'leiv sholem. When you do a mitzvah, do it completely b'leiv sholem. What way? Says the Medrash, had Reuven known that the Torah would write v'yishma Reuven v'yatzeleu mi'otam, had Reuven known the Torah would inscribe that Reuven saved Yosef by putting him in the bor, he would have taken Yosef on his shoulders, taken him back to his father. Reuven didn't do that. He did a good thing. He did a mitzvah. He saved him from death to the bor. But when you do a mitzvah, you need to do a b'leiv sholem, says the Medrash. Had Reuven known the Torah would write what he did, he would have done even more. B'leiv sholem. And therefore, he would have taken him back home. He wouldn't have just put him in the bar. Therefore, the Torah is teaching us that when you do a mitzvah, do a b'leiv sholem. Ad asof. Huh? Like it?
Wouldn't have done anything differently. Reuven would have done the same exact thing.
He wouldn't have done more? This is what the Medrash says. When you do a mitzvah, do a b'leiv sholem. We learn from Reuven. Reuven saved him from death to the bor. But had Reuven known that Torah would write this, he would have picked him up, despite all the brothers, and taken him back home on his shoulders to Yaakov Avinu. He didn't do b'leiv sholem. He did a good deed, but it wasn't b'leiv sholem. The Medrash brings other riyas, other examples. When Boaz gave Rus, it says he gave her Vayitzbat lo Kali Vatoichal Vatizba. He gave her some of the wheat. When Rus came to Boaz, he gave her some of the kernels. But had Boaz known that this would have been written in the Novi, he would have given her meat, Agolim Ptumais. Fattened cows you would have given her. Because we do a mitzvah, do a b'leiv sholem. Ah, you happy? It's good? This is good spot? Nochamol. The Rashi says, Mefarasim im oise mitzvah. I want to be a raya the Mefarasim im oise mitzvah. The Torah wrote about Reuven. Mefarasim im oise mitzvah. And this is Mefurish in the Medrash. That mefarasim im oise mitzvah. How do you see that? Because you learn from here, when you do a mitzvah, do a b'leiv sholem. Reuven could have done better. Didn't know it was being written.
If they did know it was being written, and so therefore they would do it in a greater way, is that really b'leiv sholem? Because b'leiv sholem sounds like you're doing it b'shma. If you're doing it because you know that's going to be mefarasim, that's like for your own cover. I'm not saying that with definition, but that one could say that's not
really you asked the stomach question. Is that called Leif Sholem? If you know your signs up on the wall, that's Knesset Yonah Avraham, very nice, donated Yonah Avraham. So is that takeaway from the Leif Sholem? That's what you ask another question.
But also with seeing like some Upasana from other people,
yeah.
They're just really focusing on they themselves. Not exactly the same thing.
Before Ruben spoke up, Rashi said, he said to himself, I'm the oldest, I'm going to be blamed. He's only doing because he's going to be blamed. I don't know if he said that before I came.
That didn't say the whole of this Rashpo is his mama says to himself, why did the Torah write the story of Reuven? Was it because the Torah wants to help Reuven and give him pirsum? Because mefarsim imoyis mitzvah. If that's the reason, then you can't tell me that the Torah is teaching me do a mitzvah v'reiv shalim. Maybe we're criticizing Reuven. Reuven only did, he did 80% what he wonderful. But he could have done another 20%. We're criticizing Reuven. How do you see that we're assuming it's a mitzvah? This Rashba is. I didn't know what was going on. He says himself. So let me ask you a question. What if had Reuven known that it would be inscribed in the Torah, would have taken him back home to his father. Why? Is it because he now recognized the importance of his deed? It's been written. So important. Wow, I can do better. Is that the reason?
If things happen like that, and how they happen, the family might have starved.
And that's true for the big plan, Hashem's plan. But we still have to, for the individual, he still gets judged for his prira. So we're discussing his prira. Chazal is telling us, had Reuven known that it was being inscribed in the Torah, he would have done better. Would have done B'lev of Shalem. I'm asking why. Why would he do better? Is it because he now recognized the importance of what he does? It's been written, wow, it's so important, so I'll do more. I'll give you a mashal for that. Everyone knows that a few weeks ago there was a terrible massacre in Harnoff. So a certain person I know the family. I was in Amodia last week in English as well. That this person is a reich. He davens at the 6:30 minyan. That's his minyan kavua. He davens at that minyan. But he got up late that morning. And he had to make a decision. Should I stay at my 6:30 minyan? Because he has a chavrusa afterwards. He learns with someone on the phone. Should I stay at my 6:30 minyan and catch up? Catch up the chazan? He came at 6:30 when they started. So by time for Sultan Taras Tfilin, Chule, I have to catch up the chazan and keep my chavrusa. Or I'll just wait for the next minyan. I'll drop my chavrusa, I'll lose him for today, and I'll daven like a mensch at the 7 o'clock minyan. So this person had previously asked Rabbi Zriel Auerbach this question. Because it happens. Rabbi Zriel told him it's not a tzura. It's not the way to daven when you have to catch up. It's not a tzura. It's better to lose the chavrusa than davening psukah de zimra in a rush. So that morning he came, 6:30. He was there. And he had a decision to make. And he decided, Rabbi Zvil told me, it's not a tzura. So I'm not going to catch up the minyan. He was there, he went upstairs to the 7 o'clock minyan. And at 7 o'clock he heard the shooting and he ran out, his life was saved. And he would sit at the left side where the people were killed. That's where he was, that area, that's where he was, where we would normally sit. Okay, I want to ask you. So he had a nisoyan, and he chose for because of Psukei de Zimra, he chose to delay till 7 o'clock. I want to ask you a question: is the next day he would come late to davening? The same also comes the 6:30 minyan, and he was a bit late. Would he also have a prayer? Would he also have a nisoyan whether to rush the Psukei de Zimra or not? What do you think? He wouldn't have insight. Why? He learned his lesson, right? Baruch Hashem. In that schus, his life was saved. So, now he recognizes the importance of Psukei de Zimra. So, now he's going to do it, but Simcha, right? So, is it because Reuven, once he knows the Torah is inscribing what he did, must be so important? If it's so important, so. Is that why? Or, no. Why would I do more? Because that will also be inscribed. It's going to be inscribed. Let me do more, so more will be inscribed. Huh? You see? Why would we even do more? Because that will also be inscribed. Not only that I took him out, I saved him from death. I took him back to Yaakov. Therefore, that's what Rashba means. Mefarsim emois the mitzvah. And we see it by Reuven from the Medrash. Had Reuven known it would be written, he would have done more, so even the more should be written. Unbelievable. And that's the halacha. Mefarsim emois the mitzvah. That's the halacha. When a person does a good deed, he has schar, it should be publicized. Not for the press. It's a schus for him. Schus for him that other people also follow suit. It's a schus for him that he'll be remembered for good. And that's Paschal in the Shulchan Aruch. On the other hand, the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kuf Nun Dalet talks about the Gabbai of the Shul, who ordered, he saw the shul wasn't painted, the shul hadn't been finished. So he ordered workers and they painted, they plastered the whole shul and painted the whole shul. And now the Gabbai wants his name to be inscribed. That this, the shul was decorated, befkudas the Gabbai. The Oitzer Mitzvah, he organized it. So now he wants his name up. Does he have the right? Mefarsim Oitzer Mitzvah, his chus. No, where's the Gabbai who did this? The lights, the floor. Does he have the right to get his name up? I'm Mr. Levine.
I mean, he's the Gabbai, no one else could do it. It's like he really inspiring other people to do it. They don't have the power to do it. It's his decision.
To pay for it. So says the Mishnah Berurah. He has no right to get his name up. He has paid his docker. You just carry out what the car. That's what it's there for. He's hiring the workers using the Kaspi Tzedaka. If you donate from your own pocket, then Bakasha, then you get your name up. But you're just managing the shul funds. It doesn't give you any rights. No name. So what does that mean? The Rosh Shivas, the Ponovitch Rav who built Ponovitch. Can he get his name up? So it was Kasmit's docker. It wasn't his money. He didn't have any money. Does he deserve any praise? He's just managing Kasmit's docker.
He raised it.
The Gemara says, God alama asa yoitzim en oisa. People who, the fundraisers, they're greater than the people who give. They're causing people to give. That's even greater than people actually give. So that, you would get a right. But if you have existing funds, you have the shul has the shul fund, the shul building fund, it's there already. You're just managing it, that's shum davar. That's your job. Even if you're not being paid. Whatever that's, that's not your money. But if you raise the money, if you're the gabba, and you think, see, the shul is not moving, and you bang on the bimah, Rabbeisai, everyone has to give. Let's finish the seating. Let's get it done. And you drives everyone crazy and makes phone calls and makes a whole appeal. So that he's the maase. He's organizing the funds to come in. That in Chinami, fast and the mitzvah. Okay. Anyway, because the message for us is this idea of a person should leave good deeds, have good deeds. It's a schus for him that his name should be remembered for good, and it's a schus for him that people should imitate him. And for sure, for other people, should make sure that they get what they deserve. Huh? No, Matan says that you don't want them to be embarrassed. If you're giving an oni, the oni doesn't want the whole district to know that he got money. Yosef is brought down to Mitzrayim, and Eishes Potiphar, and he meets Eishes Potiphar. Says Rashi in Perek Lamates, Pasuk Aleph, why is it the Torah goes from Yehuda, the story of Yehuda and Tamar, to Yosef? These are two separate people, two separate times, two separate, not Nogea. Says Rashi, because there's something in common between Tamar and Eishes Potiphar. What's in common between them? They're both Niskaven and Hashem Shomayim. Tamar, Hashem Shomayim, wanted to bear children from Yehuda. And Eishes Potiphar, Hashem Shomayim, wanted to bear children from Yosef. What was that based on? She saw from her stargazers, she saw that she's gonna have descendants from Yosef. She wasn't clear to her if it's from her or from her daughter. In the end, Yosef married her daughter in the end. Neshem Shammai, Gevaldik, very inspiring. So what happened, the Maisa? So they're both from the same starting point, Neshem Shammai. But Tamar merited indeed to raise the future Alochim of Am Yisrael. And what happened to Eishes Potiphar? In the end, she betrayed Yosef. She accused Yosef. She put him in the prison. And she had the chutzpah to tell everyone that Yosef attacked her and not vice versa. She's innocent. She's pure. And Yosef is guilty. A chutzpah. Which is the way of the West. They haven't changed anyway. No? So what happened? If they both started off the Shem Shomayim, why is it that Tamar was successful and she stayed the Shem Shomayim and she was successful in her mission? And why is it that Potiphar went sour? Makara, what happened? Says Rabbi Ruchan, in the name of the Alta Mikelem, there are many people who awake, they have a desire to be good. But they're not aware, it's not enough to start good, you have to make sure and oversee that you finish good. The distance between the beginning and the end is very great. And just because you start on your right foot, doesn't mean you're going to get to the end. You must always keep on checking yourself and overseeing yourself to make sure you stay on the right path. By Tamar, she wanted children from Yehuda. She did what she did. She became pregnant. And what happened? Hoitziu lisarif. She was sentenced to be burnt. What does Tamar do? She says, Hakirna. She sends the simonim to Yehuda and says, Hakirna, please recognize these simonim and please don't destroy three nefashais. Me and the two babies in my stomach. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything. It's preferable for a person to fall into the furnace, not to embarrass your friend. So Thomas says, here's my plan. It's about to fall apart. My whole plan was to raise the Malachim. It's about to disintegrate. You're going to kill me. But you know what? I accept that. I will not break my principles. That's it. I will not embarrass you in public. Even at my expense, even though my whole plan is going to fall apart. It's going to get burnt up. Tamar stayed Yashara. She didn't give in to what was right. And she was successful. But Eshes Potiphar was a different story. She wanted good, but she would do anything to achieve what she wanted to achieve, including betraying Yosef and everything else, and betraying her husband. And that's the message. Sometimes we get inspired. Tomorrow I'm coming to Shacharis on time. Shacharis on time. Amazing. But where's the guy's mind? 5 minutes later, where is he? He's already planning his business, his schedule. As someone once said, when I finish Monastery, my whole day is organized. Exactly who I have to meet, all the phone calls I have to make, it's all organized. It's worked out. It's only when you halavai, only when you finish this Monastery. Sabosai. What happens? Because it's great to start, but you have to make sure you're going to finish. The gap between the beginning and the end is great. So if you want to have a good chakras, you have to be on top of things. It's not just enough to come on time, you have to make sure that you're still focused, ad asof. That's the message for life. You can never give up, never let go. You can never go on automatic pilot. You must always be guiding the car. And you see, even on straight as the roads, the driver always has to adjust. Always needs adjusting. If it's a wild road, wild track, he has to turn his wheel all the time. Straight road, but every 10 seconds, half a minute, he has to make a little movement to adjust the wheel. Otherwise, it'll go off. And that's life. You have to adjust. Always have to be there, watching and being careful to make sure you will arrive safely at the end destination. One last point. Hey, Yosef, Vayova Abayso Lasos Malachte. He comes home to do his malacha, and that's when Eshes Potiphar was there, and she grabbed him, and he ran away. What does it mean? Vayova Abayso Lasos Malachte. Rashi says what he says, but the Yalkut says Lasos Malachte. He came to learn Torah. It was his day off. Habaitza, Loshen Shvitza, was his day off. What does Yosef do on his day off? He doesn't relax and lounge around. He comes to learn Torah. And that's really what saved him. Because Torah is magno from the Chet. Ask the Chofetz Chaim, where do Chazal see means Torah? Where do Chazal find that Lasis Melachtoi means Torah? Mechitesi Melachtoi means Torah. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, because it says Melachtoi his Melacha. What is a person's real kinyan? What Melacha does a person do for himself? His Torah and Mitzvahs. All the Olam Hazeh we don't keep, stays behind. It's not for us. You don't take it with you. What do you take with you? What's really yours? What's melachtoi? Your Torah mitzvahs. That's a chazal new to darshan. Melachtoi, that's his, doesn't say melacha. Melachtoi, his melacha. It was his Torah. And that's what saved him. That's what saved him from the chet. That's what gave him chayin. That's why he was light, because Torah gives chayin. We should have lots of melacha to do. Our melacha, our real melacha. All the rest of the stuff should be taken care of. Should be neisha b'shalva. Should have no tzaras. And we should point Purim to do the real malacha, to do the oitzek and avodas Hashem. And make sure no machlekas in the home, no machlekas, no lashon haras. That we have to be careful about, and everything will be good. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.